You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. The date is Saturday, April 12th. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander the Great joining me in the studio, as always, here in Memphis, Tennessee, as we go out to AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting. Yes, we're syndicated, but simulcasting on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org to a global audience tonight. Confederate History Month continues, and we will be getting into the celebration of all things Southern in the second hour tonight. Lots more forthcoming in the third hour. But first, Kevin McDonald will be our guest here in just a few minutes to open things up this evening. And even before we get to that, I want to share with you quickly, if we can, what is quite possibly the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say. And that's saying a lot, you know, covering the kind of news we have to cover on this show. If it's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say, it's at least a candidate in the running. And it came from the mouth of one Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron, really the media, more so than even Hank Aaron, was celebrating the 40th anniversary of his record-breaking 715th career home run. The media was using this 40th anniversary of that event to gyrate themselves and have some sort of almost seemingly sexual gratification because they were able to lavish praise on Hank Aaron. And Hank Aaron, in turn, used this 40th anniversary occasion to compare elected Republicans to Klansmen. Yes, the Republican Party, the senators and congressmen that make up the Republican administrations, are no better than the Klansmen, according to Hank Aaron. So, you know, you interview Hank Aaron, asking him to reflect upon the 40th year of his, record-breaking home run, and this is what he says. He instantly goes into, we can talk about baseball, but let's talk about politics. Sure, this country has a black president, but when you look at a black president, President Obama is left with his foot stuck in the mud from all of the Republicans with the way he's treated. We have moved in the right direction, and there have been improvements, but we still have a long way to go in this country. A lot of things have happened in this country, he went on to say, but as far as we have to go, there's really not a whole lot that's changed, Keith. That's what he said, Hank Aaron. There's not a lot that's changed since the 40s and 50s and 60s. He says the bigger difference is that back then they all had hoods. Now they have neckties and starched shirts. So here you have it, Keith. This shows that my book was prescient. Racism, Smacism, it lists as many examples as I could draw from in 2010 when it was published about what passes for racism today. Now, the Republican Party is almost as anti-white as Hank Aaron. The only people who vote for the Republican Party are the suckers that they don't pander to. They pander to blacks. They pander to Hispanics. They run as far away as they can from being identified as the party for white voters, which is, of course, the only people who vote for them. They are ashamed of their base. They have mounted two of the worst presidential campaigns in the history of American politics with the McCain and Romney incarnations. Those two candidates were so scared stiff of being called a racist, they did everything they could to make sure they lost. Rather than hitting Obama where he might be vulnerable, they didn't really even criticize him. Because to criticize him at all, as Hank Aaron confirms, is racism. Not only racism, you are a member of the KKK. So this is what's going on now, Keith. And what's amazing, not just that Hank Aaron said that, we've seen things like that being said before, but the media, this AP story that I'm reading from, they didn't even address that. They went on to, you know, after a man makes a stupid quote like that, you would think that a reporter would say, hey, now, come on, the Republicans, you know, they're not Klansmen. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's just say that for sure. I mean, they back just about every anti-white policy that the Democrats can muster. But the article went on as soon as Hank finished his diatribe to say, oh, yes, it's pitiful because when he was chasing the home run record, he received death threats from racists. They didn't even acknowledge or address any way whatsoever this thing that Republicans are Klansmen. They just went on to say how horrible it was when Aaron was growing up. And I guess basically just acknowledged that they agree with him that, yes, the Republicans are as bad as whomever you can imagine.
Isn't it incredible, James? The Republican Party is nothing more than the amen corner for the Democrats when it comes to racial politics. There is never a discouraging word said about Democrats or about blacks or about the non-whites in the Democratic Party. And Hank Aaron is showing his true colors. He uses the opportunity to be in front of a microphone not to celebrate his great good fortune to be a baseball star and make millions of dollars. He uses the opportunity to tee off on the Republicans and on white people generally. This has to be one of the least grateful individuals in the world. He is one of the most inordinately blessed people that you could imagine. He has lived the life of riot because he happens to swing a bat to hit a ball. And in the time when he played, he was not having a lot of injuries, having a long career. He never had the home run totals of a Roger Maris, a Mickey Mantle, or States. And what does he do? He shows his incredible ingratitude towards white people and their supposed party, the Republicans, at every opportunity. What a schmuck.
To borrow a word from our Jewish friends, Keith, thank you. And so this was basically how it ended, and then the article went on to conclude that the Atlanta Braves, for instance, were wearing their 1970s era jerseys in honor of Aaron, and the media is just exalting this guy, falling all over themselves to praise Aaron. And this is what, this country that's given him so much, all he can do is just urinate on it. Urinate on the people. Baseball fans are overwhelmingly white. Any time you go to a professional game, whether it's the NBA, NFL, NHL, baseball, the stands are almost 100% filled with white faces. And this is what he thinks of the fans that made him rich. The Republicans, though, this just goes to show you cannot, there's nothing you can do. You cannot castrate yourself enough to curry favor with anti-white hating bigots like Hank Aaron and his entourage in the media. The Republicans have done everything they can to sell white people down the river, and still it's not enough. Not only are they not declared to be friends of minorities, they are labeled with the Klansman moniker. Of all things, Klansmen? People like Mitt Romney? People like Rand Paul? And these jokers that are absolutely selling down their people down the river? It's amazing. This is what passes for racism, folks. Don't think you can steer clear of it.
Yeah.
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got our first guest of the night on, and what a guest he is. We're going to introduce him in about 30 seconds' time, but before we get to the business at hand, Keith wants to quickly wrap up a parting shot on the Hank Aaron story we were covering in the opening segment.
Well, actually, it's James wanted me to do because it reflects well on him. I'm going to tell you what I told him over the break. I said, Hank Aaron's reaction against white Republicans is just reinforcing the primary thesis of James's book, Racism, Smacism, that the word racist is merely a synonym in today's parlance for a white person.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that for the plug. All right, and that being said, Dr. Kevin McDonald, what a treasure for our people, and to even call him a treasure is to not do justice to the man and his work. But, of course, Dr. McDonald, a regular guest on this show, is a semi-retired professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, also a director of the American Freedom Party. Dr. McDonald, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us here in the first hour tonight.
Thank you so much for your very kind introduction. Appreciate that.
Introductions like that, my friend, are earned, not given. And speaking of earning it, you know, earning it every day you do with your work at your own website, theoccidentalobserver.net. I was there and was reading a couple of articles that really caught my eye, so much so that it prompted me to extend another invitation for you to appear this evening. We only have you for two segments tonight, so we're going to have to move swiftly. But basically, if you would, break down your article, which was a very appropriately titled Republicans Grovel Before Sheldon's Billions, talking about, of course, Jewish financier Sheldon Adelson. Tell us what's going on there and how it's really gaining steam in Republican politics.
Well, it's really a horrible story. In general, when you have these really powerful, wealthy Jewish donors, there's not much mention in the media about it, but Sheldon Adelson brought like 800 people to Las Vegas, the Republican Jewish coalition. And these Republican presidential candidates all came there, and it was just a disgusting display of groveling. I mean, it was people, I think people, you know, the reporters in the media were sort of stunned by it. This is John Kasich and Jeb Bush was there talking about immigration, but mostly it was about Israel. I mean, these people were just saying how much they would do for Israel. And, you know, Sheldon Adelson basically wants the U.S. to bomb Iran. And these people were just sucking up to him. One, you know, Scott Walker, I think he was saying that, you know, he celebrates Hanukkah and Christmas. He's got a menorah in his house. You know, others were talking about Holocaust memorial museums. They're talking about how much they love Israel. It was just really pathetic. In fact, this year, Sheldon Adelson himself donated $100 million almost in the last presidential election cycle, and he said he's going to donate more in the next one. So, you know, it's almost impossible to imagine a Republican presidential candidate that doesn't, you know, pass his approval. You know, with that much money at stake, it's very hard to see how any Republican could win that Sheldon Adelson did not approve of.
Well, this is Keith Alexander, Kevin. You're absolutely right on point. It was pointed out to me, I think, in one of your early articles that the Jewish propensity to bundle campaign donations is responsible for their incredible influence in the halls of Congress. Hollywood and Long Island, the two Jewish strongholds of America, basically bundle up all this money, and they can thereby turn some white Gentile senator from Montana, a state that has a minuscule Jewish population, into a staunch Philo-Semite and supporter of the state of Israel by bundling money. As the prostitutes at the corner of Lamar and Shelby Drive say in Memphis, Tennessee, money talks and BS walks. And apparently everything except money is BS in the eyes of our politicians today.
So true. Incredible thing is that the Supreme Court has now said that there are no limits on campaign contributions. You know, that you can set up these political action, these PACs that are not connected directly to the candidate, and you can just give as much as you want. And so, you know, Sheldon Adelson's got $40 billion. Well, what's $1 billion? I mean, that's, you know, 2.5% of his wealth. He can easily afford that. And so the sky's the limit. It's almost going to be awe-inspiring to see how much money is spent on the next presidential election. And a huge percent of it is going to be Jewish money on both sides because, you know, you've also got huge Jewish money on the Democrat side. And actually, most of that bundled money you're talking about from Hollywood and from Long Island and also Miami, Florida and all that, that stuff is mostly in favor of Democrat candidates, but also making sure that they are very much pro-Israel.
Well, another comment that I think you made, or at least I read it in conjunction with one of your articles, is that the Jewish lobby likes to own both sides of each coin, so they'll give most of their money to the Democrats, but they'll give enough to the Republicans so they can safely conclude they're bought, sold, and paid for.
Absolutely.
And there's certainly...
I would guess that they probably donate about 40-50% to the Republicans and probably more as, you know, because of Sheldon Adelson's enormous presence. And maybe, you know, 60-75% of Democrat money.
And there's no doubt, of course, that all of the Republican contenders, when it comes time for the four-year presidential cycle, are firmly in the pocket of people like this. You see them all. You know, it was so disgusting. I know you've seen this, Kevin, if not the one I saw, something very similar. Each and every one of the Republican candidates for president last year, the major contenders, save Ron Paul, just absolutely salivated. They went and just, it was grotesque. I mean, it truly was. There was no difference of opinion whatsoever. They go to these Jewish gatherings and just completely emasculate themselves.
Yeah, it was just pathetic to see it.
And not to interrupt, of course, but one of my listeners has written this on the blog in response to your article, which we reposted. Is this what passes for democracy in this day and age? And this, I guess, a question for you, Dr. McDonald. Sheldon Adelson made billions from human vice and can almost single-handedly write the Republican policy for the next election, which, of course, includes picking their ticket. Is that what democracy is now in the United States of America?
I would say so. And it's important to realize, too, that apart from Israel, everything they want is on the left. They want gay marriage. They want this immigration surge bill. They want all the social policies on the left, plus an incredibly strong military policy when it comes to Israel. So it's like the worst of both worlds, you know.
That's the definition of neoconservatism. Basically, they're for a strong military as far as foreign policy that just happens to fight all of its wars in the Middle East in the general vicinity of Israel. And when it comes to domestic policy, no nearsighted person could tell one of these neoconservatives from a standard issue liberal in the Democratic Party.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, this is a long-standing problem. I don't know. The reason is for the corruptibility of white Gentile elites, but it's been going on probably since the 14th century, hasn't it, Kevin?
It's been going on for a very long time, and you know, since the Enlightenment, I would say Jews have had much more freedom to operate. You know, they've sort of come out. They're at universities. They're writing op-eds. Prior to the Enlightenment, Jewish groups were sort of, you know, on the other side of town. They were in the ghetto. They sort of walled themselves off from everybody else. But since the Enlightenment, you know, they're everywhere, and they're involved in all these businesses and economic stuff, but also the intellectual press, the media, everything. And so it's gotten, you know, much, much worse. I think back in the 14th century, there were certainly other forces that were opposed to them and sometimes more or less effective.
Well, thank you very much. We've got another segment coming up with Dr. McDonald after these words from our sponsor.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. One more segment with Dr. Kevin McDonald tonight. And Kevin, as I was listening to that ad for the Occidental Quarterly, it triggered something, talking about the moral bankruptcy of our elite, whether it's people like Adelson or those supposedly represent us, from Rand Paul and some of these other guys that some of our people had some hope in, completely hoard themselves out. I want to ask you, though, what's the bigger problem with the situation that is our topic of conversation this evening? Is it the fact that people like Adelson and his kind, and of course we've gone to great lengths and pains on this show to talk about the fact that the reason we oppose situations like this and people like Adelson is because of what they stand for and what they do. Of course, any objective criticism of Israel or a Jewish person gets met with cries of anti-Semitism. If you hurt the feelings of someone like Adelson, you're an anti-Semite, just like all the Republican leaders are Klansmen, according to Hank Aaron, because they offend his sensibilities. But here was the question, Kevin. Is the problem more that people like Adelson are able to completely circumvent and take over the political process, take that power away from the people? Or is the problem that you have whores like Rand Paul, and you could just name your Republican, you mentioned many of them in your excellent article, and that they are so easily bought? Which one's the greater problem? Or are they both hand in hand?
Well, they're both hand in hand. It's certainly true that these politicians, there's something just really abjectly just horrifying about how they bow down to this guy.
Well, it's like Frank Sinatra said, it's like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it is very, very sad to see how corruptible American politicians are, but it's been going on for decades.
Well, and that's why I think conservatives miss the boat when they try to say things like we oppose limitations on campaign contributions. You shouldn't. We need to have those limitations to minimize the corrupting influence of Jewish money.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are the ones who are certainly going to take advantage of that. I mean, and it's not just Sheldon Adelson, the Republican Party. You have this guy, you know, Michael Steinhardt and all of these guys, and they're all totally in favor of massive immigration, totally in favor of gay marriage, and all those things. So it's just a huge problem. But, yeah, our politicians are just horrible. Just going back one of my first wake-up calls was, you know, when Jimmy Carter was running for president. Now, he actually turned out fairly sensible about the Palestinian question, but at that time, you know, he just went to New York and just, you know, laid down, you know. And that's just, it's been going on ever since. It's hard to think of any American politician that has really stood up to the Israel lobby ever since then. I can't think of any.
And, you know, Dr. McDonald, well, first of all, I want to direct everyone to your website, OccidentalObserver.net, and read this article. Read all the articles there. Just read as many as you can, and that will be your intellectual nourishment. The OccidentalObserver.net, and check that out. The article we're talking about here is Republicans Grovel Before Sheldon's Billion. Do you see this continuing to get worse as it moves on? Are the American people going to be phased out even more from having the ability to pick their candidates?
Well, without any campaign, any limitations on campaign money, yes, it's going to get worse. I think it's just going to be obscene, and it may get so obscene that people finally rise up and do something about it, but. The President Supreme Court, and way surprisingly, it's viewed as a conservative thing not to have limits. But that's a joke, because it's pretty clear people like Adelson are not really conservative, and also because there's huge money in the Democratic Party, too.
Well, the Southern Baptists aren't bundling money, are they?
Yeah, I mean, and most of that money is basically on the same page about the big issues in the social transformation of America and the dispossession of white America. They're all on page with that.
Well, you know, we've got, we were talking about this before, that there seems to be this corruptibility gene or something in Gentiles that allows them to just totally cave in like a cardboard suitcase in a rainstorm to money. I don't think they could corrupt black politicians enough so that they would sell out the interests of black Americans. I don't think they could corrupt Chinese politicians enough so that they would sell out the interests of their people. What is it about white Gentiles that makes them so eminently susceptible to Jewish power and influence?
Yeah, certainly not all of this, but some people, Sam Francis once said that so many of our politicians are sociopaths, and I agree with that. I think that they have no real ties to anybody. They're just trying to have a good career, and they'll do anything to get there. Sociopathy is a sort of lack of compassion, lack of empathy for your people, for even for your family. And sociopaths are, you know, often in prison, but when you have a intelligent sociopath, they go to law school and become a politician, unfortunately. And that's so much of our leadership has been deficient in that regard. I do think that whites are more individualistic. They do have fewer ties. They're more easily corruptible for that reason. They can easily, you know, they're more, so many of them want a good career, and they're willing to sacrifice anything for it.
You wrap up your article, the one that we've been drawing from this entire time, by saying this whole process is American politics at its worst, and it is. And what you say there, I think, is a very simple answer, but it's spot on. You let a guy who has no roots and loyalty to his people, and you send him up for 10 years or 20 years, or people like Ted Kennedy for, you know, 70 years or however long he can live, and you let him be Mr. Big. You give him offshore accounts. You give him access to the best women, anything he wants, and all he's got to do is just do what he's told. And unfortunately, those are the people that rise to the top. Those are the people that are put forward. Those are the people that are endorsed and you know, stamped by the kingmakers like Adelson. And the results are predictable. Keith, I'll let you comment on that, and we'll toss it back to the good doctor.
Well, the other thing I wanted to bring out is that I don't think there's going to be any renaissance of white Gentiles to the problems of Jewish power and influence, because the Jewish lobby is so effective at marginalizing anyone who would criticize Jewish power and influence. If you even point out called white commentators on ESPN are actually Jewish, then you're going to, like, Tony Kornheiser or Chris Berman or Steve Levy, Linda Cohn, all of these people, you're supposed to not notice that they're Jewish. And if you are smart enough to notice, you better keep it to yourself, or else you're going to be met with a charge of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. The fact that the Jewish community is able to prevent any discussion of Jewish power in the mainstream media and so on is a huge index of their power. There's no question about it. I think I made another comment recently, a short blog item about Clinton. And
yes,
a sort of follow-up to this thing with Adelson. You know, Clinton is just a pure example of a sociopath who became president in every possible way. And in that blog item, I mentioned that as soon as he got out of office, he became rich very quickly because of his Jewish connections. And there's a quote from the book by David Frum. And I personally recall within a day or two of leaving office, he came up to Los Angeles and got $100,000 to speak at a Jewish group. I mean, it's just very clear how things work in this country. And that's the pathetic thing. Clinton, you know, did what they wanted, and, you know, was just their perfect president for 8 years, and he got his reward.
I'm so glad you were reading my mind. I was going to ask you in the few seconds we had remaining to make reference to that article, which was entitled "The Pioneer and courting Jewish money. And that was, of course, Bill Clinton. You mentioned that. And from there, it's only gotten bigger and badder as far as that whole institution goes. You mentioned Carter, even pre-Clinton, of course. But Clinton was, as you diagnosed, the first one to do it on such a large scale on just about every issue. And he was made a very rich man. And, well, I mean, that's, of course, he paved the way for what has now become a precedent in both parties, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. They all do it with very rare exception, especially up on a on the federal level.
Yeah, very rare.
Well, Kevin, we have
I really don't think that anybody can become get nominated in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party unless they pass unless they are acceptable to the Jewish community. It's not possible.
Once you get up to the level of a United States congressman, senator, or of course a presidential candidate or a governor, yes, absolutely, it's almost 100%. You got to kiss the Godfather's ring. Kevin, it's an honor, as always. It goes by far too quickly when you're our guest, but I'm sure our audience is all the better for you having taken the time tonight. We look forward to the next one already.
Great talking to you, sir.
We'll talk to you again soon. Dr. Kevin McDonald, everybody. Check him out at theoccidentalobserver.net. We'll be back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, you just heard, and normally we don't go directly to a guest, but we took you straight from the frying pan and into the fire tonight by bringing on a heavy hitter like Kevin McDonald here just minutes into the show. Always a great interview, always talking about the most serious of issues, the issues the likes of which you're not going to hear discussed in the mainstream media. The mainstream media, save this network, save this show, speaks with one voice when it comes to tackling the issues about fat cat financiers like Sheldon Adelson. And is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, of course they believe it's good, or they don't mention it at all. And typically they don't mention it at all. We saw where even Joe Biden, who praised Jewish folks for having so much power and influence, and even that was, he was scolded for that because you're not supposed to talk about those things. Keith, a quick response from you on that, and then we're going to go to Scoop.
Okay, basically, they don't have anything negative to say. He never has heard a discouraging word, because for Joe Biden and for the mainstream media, people like Sheldon Adelson are their meal ticket. They're all on the payroll, so consequently, they're not going to say anything bad about the boss.
All right, Peter Scoop Stanton, the last couple of weeks due to work. Washington, D.C. correspondent calling in for a segment of his very own each and every show, of course, with rare exceptions, the last 2 weeks being among them. Scoop, what do you have for us tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen, and the rest of the successful family. First, I'd like to say a kudos to a store manager at a Safeway in Fairfax, Virginia. My wife and I happen to be returning some items, and a noble Spaniard was making a wire transfer by a Western Union. The gentleman making the wire transfer would not put a home address. The store manager, his name was Eugene, said that a home address was needed for IRS purposes in case they're doing an audit. And the gentleman, double Spaniard, gave a telephone number, and the manager replied back, "I have three names and three addresses for this telephone number. Which one are you?" And the guy still would not respond.
Oh, my goodness.
For Eugene for sticking up for the American people.
Yeah, they're probably going to deport Eugene rather than the noble Spaniard that you mentioned and charge him with some sort of a hate crime or xenophobic charge, something along those lines.
Anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if the guy wasn't Jewish. I mean, these words are all interchangeable. It just means for you to shut up if you're white and do whatever you're told or asked of by a minority. All right, Scoop. Well, you know, there was a story you had sent me last week. I really wanted to talk with you about it, but I know work intruded. Unfortunately, unlike many of our opponents, we have to work for a living. And I understand, by the way, that there have been a couple of interruptions here during the first hour, cutting out for a couple of seconds at a time. We've got our technicians working on that. Not only are we a no-frills, we're sort of like the Southwest Airlines of radio program. The radio is no frills, but your bags still fly free. And anyway, what I was going to say was, I was going to say something. I even forgot what that was. I'm so flustered. when you work on a budget, you got to cut a few corners. No, yeah, early onset dementia. But no, Scoop, I wanted to talk to you about a story you had sent in last week. The mugging, I guess the robbery of a few cell phones on a DC train. There was some young white females, and they got accosted by the usual suspects and robbed. And the head of security for the Metro Transit Authority there in the DC area told them that they should not have tried to get their belongings back. They just need to sit there and be good witnesses, good victims.
Right. And what's funny, if you go back to the archives a couple of weeks, I mentioned Rachel Maddow's hit piece on Glenn Beck and the use of the Metrorail system. That offense occurred on the Green Line, which is infamous for being laced with crime and going through some of the worst neighborhoods in the metropolitan D.C. area. Personally, I have to ride the Metro constantly for work purposes, since driving a car is just not feasible in the nation's capital. So with that being said, the Transit Authority police is nowhere to be seen. I predict within 5 years you're going to have a Bernie Getz situation down here in D.C., whereas after Bernie Getz, you saw cops on the trains all day, every day, including into the night.
Well, so I know, Scoop, you have no shortage of stories that must have stockpiled over the course of your two-week absence here. So continue to just line them up and knock them down for us. What else is on the agenda?
Okay, next item. Yours truly went with Mrs. Stanton to medieval times in the D.C. area. I texted Mr. Edwards. I said, this place, the tourist traps were a bunch of rubes. I got a text back saying, I loved it, that place. Mr. Edwards texted, is your knight winning? I text back, no, he took a fall. What a, you know what. Moving right along, I'm also going to do a book review. I'm doing a book review for a book that was released last year. Our favorite reporter, Charlie Duff, out of Detroit, who's now working for the network, Fox, two things about him. He was recently in D.C. Talking about General Motors, which is a personal issue from him being from Detroit, and he walked up to Representative Harry Waxman. And Mr. LaDuff was not a reporter. He was a Detroit resident trying to figure out which he tangled Foxtrot and gave Mr. Waxman the business. Now, since Representative Waxman has a D after his name and he's a member of the tribe, he was not expecting a reporter to hand him the business. And then Waxman got so flustered, he asked LaDuff, quote, why don't you do and stop because Mr. LaDuff is a reporter. He doesn't work for General Motors or the Congress. That clip is on YouTube. But anyways, about Mr. LaDuff's book, he wrote a book called Detroit, An American Autopsy. This is a must-read for any political science major, anybody interested in politics, or anybody that wants to see where America is going. Because as the saying goes, it used to be as Camden goes, so does America. Well, as Detroit goes, so does the rest of America. Mr. LaDuff put a lot of personal stories into this book. He wrote about how everybody is to blame, including the car companies, the politicians, the people that moved out of Detroit, the people that still live in Detroit causing issues. He's also put some personal issues with his family in the book. It's a very, very, very interesting read. I am going through the book like gangbusters.
Well, just let me tell you, I've read it. Peter, this is Keith Alexander, and the one thing he won't mention explicitly, he won't confront the 800-pound gorilla on the living room couch, which is race. It's the car companies. It's everybody else. He treads around lightly, but unfortunately for him, he doesn't have the courage of the political cesspool to call a spade a dirty shovel, like my grandma used to say back in the day.
Right. Well, Mr. LaDuff, he still needs to feed his family, but...
we quit worrying about that long ago.
Right. Yeah, well, yours truly is well-fed, but however, we still need to feed our families. But I've noticed over time he's gone from very left to center. He used to be a columnist for the New York Times, but even last year he said he was a conservative of a lowercase c. So... eventually he will, come to terms with, what we're
well,
for.
I have no doubt that he recognizes certain truths as well. But as you mentioned, and there's, listen, not everybody can be in the position that we're at. If you worked scoop for Fox News, I would want you to keep that job and do the best you can. Because it's not going to serve anyone any good for people like Charlie LaDuff to be fired from the Fox affiliate in Detroit for stating the very obvious. And let me tell you, I like what I see out of LaDuff, and he does some very raw and candid exposés on that channel up there in Detroit, the Fox affiliate. We've run probably a dozen of them over the years, just that show how third world Detroit really is on so many different levels, and it can be anywhere from pollution to crime and you name it, whatever the issue, LaDuff covers it, and he does it well. So yeah, I mean, of course Keith's right, he doesn't go to the extents that we do in his truth telling, but that's not to say that he's part of the problem, because he's not. I'm a fan of LaDuff.
I am too, because frankly, for his work, it makes my job here on the political social very easy. I just refer to him.
He covers a lot of the stories we cover. Again, he doesn't necessarily cover them in the same way that we do, but it's stories that wouldn't be covered otherwise, especially in a place like Detroit.
Or on Fox News,
right.
Exactly.
All right, well, I guess you're about to have to go back in and punch the clock. Like I said, we work for a living, and what a shame it is. So, you gotta work so we can patronize places like Chuck E. Cheese in medieval times.
James believes that a person as beautiful as him ought to be spared the indignity of having to work for a living, right? Yeah, do you agree with that, Peter, or not?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's some things in life I don't do, and one of them is sleep. You know, this radio show is a full-time job for volunteer pay, but look at what we do. Look at what we've accomplished together, this ragtag motley crew such as it is, me and Keith and Scoop and Eddie and Winston. It's I tell you what, we're celebrating 10 years later this fall, folks. Don't miss that.
Well, one thing you can be sure of, none of us are Jewish, or we'd have figured out a way to make money out of it.
Hey, listen, I'll give them the credit for that all day long. I wish, you know, some of the things that they do, I only wish we could do for our people. Without being hypocritical, certainly if I had billions of dollars, I would be trying to stand up for the interests of our people. And in a way, you got to commend a guy like Adelson for doing that. Unfortunately, since everything he does is contrary to the American experiment as given to us by our founding fathers, we must oppose it on ideological grounds. We'll be back right after this, folks, second hour.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.